Simpsons Index, an online spreadsheet that is also a podcast. This is The Podcast.
Coming to you from SideQuest Studios, this is The Simpsons Index, episode 256. Hello out there, I'm your host Elliot J. O'Neill, joined here as always, except when he's not, by BT Calloway.
I dropped my pen, but managed to pick it up in time to say hello.
Oh, good. There's nothing you need more
than... The
people
at home were terrified for me.
Yeah, you're like Bob Dole. You can't do anything without a pen in your hand.
I like my pens. Even though it's a 1 point and not a 0.7, but you know, that's fine. I'm a professional, I'll move on.
And also joined by Philip Wolfe.
Hello, I'm now here and confused. I just have pen preferences, Phil.
Look, have you got a pen in your hand?
I do, but I don't know.
So do I. I don't even need the pen for this bit. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about The Simpsons, because we're The Simpsons Index. We review Simpsons.
It's in the name.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and continuing on from a couple of episodes ago now, we're continuing our journey into season 35. We've finally broken up that can of water.
Wow, how on topic. Caught me off guard, but I know why you did it.
Which is actually a thing now. Have you seen the liquid death water that is in servos in Australia now?
No.
It's fucking... I heard about it first because, like, Steve-O, like, Jackass Steve-O was, like... one of the big promoters of it, and it's just like literally a can of water. Like,
are they given like a hyped up name?
They've like made it the size of like a Monster Energy drink and giving it like a similar sort of, I don't know, for lack of a better word,
vibe.
Call of Duty gamer vibe.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So it's for all those undercover hydro homies.
Yeah. It's like, bro, get hydrated. Yeah.
But yeah, it touts itself as being a fucking can of water. And yeah.
I'm amazed that Steve-O's still alive.
We're all kind of amazed at that.
He is probably doing the best out of any of the original Jackass crew.
Really?
Like,
surprising, I guess.
I know, right? Like, all of them look like shit these days, but Steve-O's been sober for like 15 years and full vegan and everything, and like trying to rehabilitate Bam Margera.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw him do stand-up like last year in Canberra.
In what?
Yeah. We missed out on tickets to the Sydney show, so we went to saw him in Canberra.
It's head's been in the sand for quite some time.
Yeah, look, that entire sentence just sounded like a Mad Lib to me. I saw Steve-O in, I need a name of a place, Canberra, doing occupation, stand-up. Yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
But no, he totally just reinvented himself as pretty much just a stand-up comic. Like, because, he found, like, weirdly enough that, like, stand-up bars were, like, the best place he could go to maintain his sobriety.
That's still weird because it's like, what's his material? It's like, so you know when you're, like, on fire and your nuts are covered in honey and you're being chased by a bear? That's relatable, right?
You know, you guys shock yourself with a police taser? Doesn't that always hurt a little bit too well?
Yeah, and you're kind of into it. Anyone else get that? Crickets.
Oh, crickets get that, do they?
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to talk.
Sorry, I'm a dad now. It comes with the technology.
Oh, dude, sorry. Speaking of crickets, weirdest fucking thing happened to me this morning. So I got this coffee machine with a little milk frother on the side of it. And there's just like this little skinny cylindrical attachment that you wash after you use the milk frother. You know, lest your milk frother get all old and milky. So anyway, yeah, the routine's usually froth my milk, take the milk frother off, clean it off, drop it straight into the dish drainer.
Because you're a responsible man.
Yeah, exactly. I've come to the milk frother with crusty old milk too many times. Anyway, so I picked up the milk frother, and because it needs to go in a particular way every time, and I'm so glad I do this, every time I pick it up from the drainer, I look and make sure I've oriented it the right way so I can just get it on there first time. I look in and I'm like, oh, there's something like caught in there. Try to shake it out. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Did a coffee bean get lodged in there or something? So I get a toothpick and like get it in there, and a fucking cricket jumps out. I'm like, a massive, like a cricket that is like big enough that I was like, how the fuck did you even fit in there?
Cricket just jonesing for a Java fix.
Yeah. It's like, or maybe are you like riding the front of the wave of insects becoming a food source, and you're just having cricket milk first possible user?
Look, I think the cricket was worried about that because I was coming at it with a toothpick. Yeah. I'm like, free sample.
Hors d'oeuvre, don't mind if I do.
Like, cricket out of here.
Very weird thing. Anyway, all things I'd rather talk about than what we're about to talk about.
Yep. I saw a stick insect for the first time yesterday.
For the first time?
Well, in real life.
I'm surely.
Yeah, well, that sure. I know of.
Other times you might have thought they were actually sticks.
They were just sticks. I'm like, there's a lot of sticks here.
I mean, I have a... You just triggered a very distinct memory of being at Nan and Pop's place, and there was one on the roof, and it was quite large. And
I don't remember that.
You were daring me to sit underneath it.
That does sound like me, but I don't remember that, and I deny any allegations.
What do you think would happen? The stick insect would do a sticky shit and drop onto him?
Who knows?
They're weird-looking things.
Yeah, they look like sticks.
Maybe like if it gets scared, it just goes into a straight line, and it becomes like a ninja sword and stabs you in the head. Who knows?
Javelin insect.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Stop at sticks.
Yeah, let's fucking hook into this thing, because I weirdly have a lot of notes, but I don't feel like I've got a lot to say.
I'm the same way. I have so many notes. I have nothing really to say about this other than, hey, did you guys watch The Dropout? Because that's what this is.
Yeah. All right, let's hook in. So this was Season 35, Episode 4, Thirst Trapped, A Corporate Love Story. Mm. First released in October of 2023. It was directed by Timothy Bailey, not the Australian weatherman.
Stop making that mistake, everybody. Stop writing in.
Honestly, that would be kind of amazing.
I know. Went from the business of the Broly to directing Simpsons.
Yep.
And written by Rob Lezebnik. In this episode, it was a take on the, what'd you say?
Theranos whole thing.
One of the many documentaries made about Elizabeth Holmes. If you don't know, Google her. Like, I feel like anyone like would go, what's that name? And then Google her and then go, oh, that's right, those fucking giant dead eyes.
Yeah.
Like, it does look like someone's done a makeup job on a CPR mannequin.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Accurate. And then put a turtleneck.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah.
And then gave it way too much money. Basically...
God, it was so much money, too.
Yeah, she had, like, a medical thing that, like, sped up blood testing or something like that.
I only watched The Dropout, which is, like, the dramatized version. But that said, I got through it, and I'm like, that was an insane story. I'm sure they made some of it up for, you know, effect, and then started research. Nope.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, that part was real? Are you fucking kidding?
Yeah. It's funny that they contrast it with the Beatles in this episode where that was a massive documentary where not a lot happened, and then, that one where it's like, oh my God, we do not have time to fit in all the real details of this story.
Is that what the Beatles bits were?
It was a reference to Get Back.
Oh, right. I was like, why the fuck do they keep throwing to the Beatles talking about nonsense?
Mm-hmm. Look, I will say this episode throws to a lot of things to do nonsense. So,
I think
the big thing with this one is the point of difference from Simpsons episodes is that, like, it's set like a documentary style thing. Because, there were a bunch of documentaries about Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah, it is fascinating, this, the hubris. Basically, so Elizabeth Holmes came up with this thing. It was meant to take, like, a single drop of blood, and from that, they would be able to do, like, a bunch of different medical tests. Almost instantly. And it was one of those, you know, revolutionary ideas that at no point even came close to working, because there's a reason they take a certain amount of blood, because you need it to analyze. I don't know how things work.
Yeah.
But every medical profession is like, there's no way. What are you talking about? But because it had such a huge promise, and because investing always based itself on the power of a promise, because everyone wants to get in at the ground floor, it made so much money because everyone's just like, well, we got to get in on this thing. I don't care if they don't even have a working prototype yet and it's been 6 years. We have to, you know, get in. It's going to revolutionize healthcare. We're going to make millions. Mm. And that happened, and then it did not.
Yeah.
Basically, that's a good breakdown. Yeah.
So basically this, but, you know, they're using Persephone and her desalination device, and gets Mr. Burns on the hook for all that investing money. And
I didn't even fully understand what the device was until like halfway through the episode. It's like, oh, okay, so it takes ocean water.
Yeah,
and makes
they're
it.
Like, oh, it's going to desalinate ocean water. It's like, but like, why? Mm. And then it's, oh, for drinking. Ah, oh, okay, right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I did understand that, but. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't really mention anyone drinking from it until, about
that.
And
it was all the explanation of what the thing was covered in so much startup jargon.
Yeah, which of course was the point. Yeah. But
I feel like that joke kind of got a bit old, but it just became very annoying to listen to her say anything almost ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where it needs to veer closer to almost making sense. You'd be like, oh, yeah, wait, no.
Yeah.
So, look, my big note on this one is that, like, A lot happens and nothing happens. It blitzes by with so much stuff. It, like, we've criticized a lot of new Simpsons for, like, not, like, sticking to the old format of, like, you know, having jokes constantly happening. Yeah. But this is, like, just throwing so much stuff at you that so little of it sticks. It's just like you're getting over one thing and it's, oh, okay, we're moving on to another.
It's like being hit by Nerf balls.
Yeah. How about you, BT? What stands out to you from this one, for better or worse?
Just the documentary style, which I like the concept of. It does really lose its way a few times because it's not... Okay, so it starts off, we go straight into episode as well. No couch gag, no title card even.
Yeah.
Straight into Mr. Burns sitting down, putting on a lapel mic. And so, okay, we're in documentary style. And then it's a flashback. And then it's a flashback to Lisa interviewing this woman. And then it's also then a bunch of footage they couldn't have, like Persephone's grandfather dying. And like, if it would have been okay if I got the sense from like the visual staging of it that this was a dramatization, but you don't get that sense. And you even get like other bits and pieces. Like they have a very annoying tell-then-show gag of... They're like, oh, and you're a Harvard dropout. And she's like, yeah, I'm the fastest Harvard dropout. I didn't even slow down to pick up my tote bag or something. And then cuts to footage of her driving by and picking up the tote bag. It's like, we got nothing from the visual of
to
having
To be honest,
that.
I did like the gag of the car driving past more than the whole lead up to that gag. I did have a little nose choke.
Yeah, if it had just been, oh, I was the fastest Harvard dropout, and then cut to her just speeding past, picking up the tote bag and leaving.
Yeah, true.
It was to be told, then shown, and they do that kind of thing a lot where they're like...
So much.
Tell you a thing, and then you see the thing. You're like, you know, I got it, thank you. Mm. And it's just, it messes with that idea of a documentary-style format because at a certain point, it's implied this documentary has been taken over by Mr. Burns and shut down and made to look like everything's perfect, but then that's a different documentary you are half watching, and it's just, it's unfocused, and I think that is what adds to the sense of there being so much and yet so little.
Yeah, well, you know, we've sort of given New Simpsons, especially like in the 30s, a bit of credit that it feels like, yeah, they recognize they're not the show they once were, and sometimes they do a bunch of format challenging episodes, and it's like, yeah, welcome. But, you know, Simpsons have sort of dipped their toes in the documentary format in the past, and this one just, stylistically uncohesive, and it just didn't land.
Yeah, I think if it was more cohesive, I would have enjoyed it a lot more. And also, it's kind of weird because they use Steadicam a lot, or shaky cam rather, and it's... Like, you can see it slowly panning around and someone's holding it, but they didn't kind of pick and choose the moments to use that. It was kind of just
it feels
almost
like an
every
auto filter.
Scene. Yeah, and so it just felt disorienting in a weird way.
Yeah. How about you, Phil? What stands out to you from this one, for better or worse?
I'm going
to
say, the first, I mean, initially, like, as soon as it came into credits and they had, like, the floating titles, and it was obviously a doco-style, a Netflix doco-style thing, I wasn't on board. But about 10 minutes in, I kind of thought to myself that I was enjoying the episode, and then that faded a little bit, and then it sat for a while, and then when they had the Mr. Burns, the documentary watching suddenly ends with like a very positive message, and because Mr. Burns has bought the documentary company, I felt like that was the end, and I was I wrote pretty poor gag for the end of the show, and then there was like another 15 minutes and I was like, oh, this is still going. So I thought it was going to shape up to be an all right episode, and I was like, oh, maybe season 35 might be doing some good things. But I think, Beege is right in that it was trying to throw a lot at the wall, and I feel like whoever wrote this definitely grew up on Family Guy, because there was a lot of, as you say, gags throw to the show of the gag that's not really a Simpsons staple for doing. Mm.
Yeah, this feels like season 22 or something.
And like, sorry, you mentioning that, like, all the tell then show, like, I didn't think about it when I was watching the episode. Again, this was just such a frantic note-taking one for me. I didn't think watching to the episode, this is a bunch of footage that, one, they would have never had, and two, they didn't, like, lean into the dramatic reenactment angle, which
usually,
might have been funny.
I usually enjoy, like, it when they have, we don't have footage of this, let's get a really overdone reenactment. I usually enjoy that gag, but nothing felt like it had that implication to it. The other very Family Guy, very really guys kind of moment was when they have a dramatic squirrel gag.
Oh,
where a squirrel turns around
God.
And goes, bam, bam, bam. It's like, wow, that is some internet 1.0 shit there.
Yeah, that's like a flashback to 2001 or something.
Yeah.
No, when I was looking up the research for this episode, I saw a few reviewers were all like, oh, yeah, you know, commenting on this would have been a bit more relevant, say, 1 or 2 years ago. And it's like, oh, well, come on, Simpsons have a long life. Like, I mean, even I've been criticized, I've made that criticism before. But that, like, you look up dramatic squirrel on YouTube, that is like 260p. It is like uploaded 14 years ago or something like that.
Recorded on a Polaroid camera, one frame at a time.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things you only got in chain emails. You weren't even going to YouTube for it.
Yeah. Oh, and then Simpsons have done this before as well. They made a joke where someone is sending a message and they use a GIF of something that happened in the Simpsons. It was like, their stock plummeting or whatever, and it's the Ralph rolling down the hill.
Which has the weird implication of the Simpsons being a show within this universe of the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like them trying to keep being different documentaries about the same thing, doing the same thing, is what lost it. Like, they could have just trying to pretend it finished, and then the second documentary started. And then there was like a bit where they went like, there were so many documentaries made about this story, even the most famous Documentimeter made it feel like, a good show. And then there was legitimately a 40-second montage of Ken Burns-esque motion. And I'm like, I just wrote down, this is definitely time filler. Like, it was probably the longest scene they had in the whole show. And it was just pseudo 2.5D rotating images of stills of things that never happened.
Again, which is like funny in the context of, oh, this is of course how Ken Burns would do this documentary, but it was then just like showing a picture of a jazz guy or showing a picture of a baseball guy and mostly in his Civil War documentary motif. And it's like, well, you're not doing Ken Burns doing this documentary. You're just like making reference to his other documentaries.
Yeah, they're like, this is a documentary, Ken Burns.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if they had done this in three parts and each part was a documentary style of a different documentarian, that could have worked. Like, you could have been like, the middle bit would be Ken Burns, it's all floaty type of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just a weird gag they spent a lot of time on.
Yeah. And speaking of Ken Burns, playing himself in this episode, Ken Burns.
Good for Ken Burns.
It's like a multi-time Simpsons guest star. We remember when they did Ken Burns' cheese? And
no.
It got Flanders and Krabappel in the mood.
Oh, God, nope. No.
Yeah, that was the beginning of their relationship.
Just movies again, from inside your head.
Again, sometimes doing this podcast, I feel like recalling recent Simpsons episodes, I'm explaining dreams.
You're sounding like an improv comic. I need the name of a documentarian.
Yeah, need a subject, but look, so today was WrestleMania 40, and there's a term in wrestling to refer to a match that's like, got a lot of things happening and got a lot of people like coming in and running interference and stuff.
It's clusterfuck.
I mean, it may as well be. That's definitely a synonym.
Flex.
But it's just overbooked. Yeah. And now this episode's coming out a few weeks later.
Really,
so
ready for something way more colorful.
Yeah, so this is coming out a couple weeks after WrestleMania, so spoilers if you don't want the ending. But yeah, the ending of Cody versus Roman was overbooked. Like, the Usos come run interference, and then Solo Sikoa's there, then The Rock's there, then fucking Seth Rollins is in his original S.H.I.E.L.D. gear, and then The Undertaker returns.
His original S.H.I.E.L.D. gear?
Yeah.
My God.
The Undertaker? He must be the Undertaker by now.
We actually saw him do stand-up a couple of weeks ago.
Come on! What? How many people have you seen do stand-up that don't make sense? What the fuck was his bit?
Do you have a time machine that just takes you to alternate realities?
What is that?
I'm going to have to sit down. I already am sitting down.
You're going to have to sit down even more.
Yeah.
Get this man another seat.
Do some hard sitting.
But also, yes, The Undertaker, whose like gimmick was not talking, it does stand up now. It's great.
What was his funniest joke?
When he was talking about how him and the Godfather went drinking, and Godfather had this girlfriend, and the girlfriend was like really wanting to go sleep with the Godfather, and then the Godfather calls him Undertaker up from the hotel room after they left the bar and goes, "Man, I can't finish the job, you come here." And Undertaker's like, "Okay." And then he also falls asleep drunk, and the woman does not get satisfied by either man.
Wow.
But, sorry, it was a longer story that I condensed out.
No, that's...
Where was I going with it? Overbooked. This one is fucking overbooked. So playing Persephone O'Dare, Liz Holmes parallel, is Elizabeth Banks.
Okay.
From one Liz to another.
Yeah, sure.
From The Saint?
No, I mean, maybe. But,
no, from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
The movie.
Second movie.
That really doesn't help me.
She was Miri and Zack and Miri Make a Porno. She was the JD's baby mama in Scrubs.
Yep, she's in 30 Rock as Jack's wife for a while.
A 40-year-old virgin as person that wants to sleep with Steve Carell and then masturbates in the bath.
If that doesn't
okay,
help.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
I feel like there's more prestigious roles that I'm not remembering.
She's done a lot of stuff. That's not just I can't remember any of
them. Doesn't sound like any of those ones are going to make her like rest in peace montage at the end of the Oscars.
Oh, she directed Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
Didn't help me know what she looks like.
It's true.
Unless she looks like a cocaine bear.
No, but she is a fucking fantastic actress. Right. It's one of my favorites.
Great comedic actress, good dramatic chops. Moved to directing, mixed results.
Oh, Cocaine Bear was unreal.
I mean, it needed to be at a constant 11 and it got to about an 8.
I had a fun time. But anyway, but playing themselves, Ken Burns, Peter Coyote, Peter Jackson, Andrew Ross Sorkin, and Kara Swisher. Oh, and also Christine Amanpour.
Is that the Sorkin you get when you can't get, you know, the other one?
Yeah, this isn't Aaron Sorkin. This is just some journalist.
Some also person who talks and walks at the same time.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I tried to keep a note out for who these people were, but, like, again, this thing was moving through its fucking paces so quickly, and there were so many, like, post-interviews. Like, oh, was that? Okay, we've moved on to another thing.
Did you say Peter Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Peter Jackson.
Playing himself.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy with the Beatles footage.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait, who played the Beatles?
You're not going to believe this. They borrowed Elliot's multi-dimensional machine and found four identical stand-up comics.
It's the one where Ringo just does stand-up. Wouldn't it be fucking weird if I was the voice of a train?
Actually, you know, come to think of it, in more Elliot went to an alternate dimension news. Last year when I went to New York, I was meant to go to a Yoko Ono concert, but I got scammed on the ticket reseller site.
What is your life?
I applaud you.
I've known you for so many years. I applaud you for going to gigs that not only would I never think of going, that I would never even consider was a gig in the first place.
And then get scammed
and
on
then,
it.
And then not have to go because I get scammed.
Mm-hmm. He went to Elizabeth Banks' stand-up.
Yeah.
It was all pump, but no delivery. Mm.
Didn't tell one Mighty Morphin Power Rangers story. Anyway, was this a particularly wacky episode of The Simpsons?
Kind of. Does all have the lens of being in a documentary. There was one part I did like, which was when Persephone and Mr. Burns get married, and it's on kind of the covers of all the magazines, including Nintendo Power.
Yep. Where are married or something.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that they're just so on everything, even something completely unrelated gets them.
Yeah.
But rest in peace, Nintendo Power. Rest in power. But also, like, they do this fake out where the kids all drink the desalinated water and disintegrate. Yeah. And it's like, and they're even like, oh, we just did that for the trailers. You didn't have to do that.
Which feels like a joke about movies, because movies do that. Put things in the trailer that aren't in the movie, e.g. Madam Web. And this isn't like, you know what we have to do to get people to watch a documentary these days that's not about a murder in a small town? And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't feel like... Have you watched a documentary trailer? Like,
Or the fact that people watch documentaries about Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah,
like,
this was a popular thing. Yeah. Like,
it was a big thing. It's the only reason I think any of us even know about it.
Yeah, they have a point in this that there were several documentaries made about it.
Like, yeah. Weird.
Yeah, it really felt like it was super running out of steam towards the end of the episode, and they were just... going back into the bin of ideas that they threw out to be like, we still need 5 more minutes.
Yeah, it's really the fucking recycling the tab of ideas or whatever. Yeah.
And even the, like, even within universe, it doesn't even make sense because they're like, there was this soda that was way too sweet, so it got discontinued. So the company bought up all that, and instead of desalinating water, it just masked the taste by putting this soda in. But that's going to be poisonous. And it's like, it's not going to be poisonous. The machine doesn't work, but it's only masking salt water with soda.
If you drink salt water, you will die, though.
And not instantly.
Well, not like...
people don't come out of the ocean being like, honey, I don't have long...
Please. Not made as the Lost Ark style, like those kids died.
Die.
But even the implication then was like, oh no, if any of these children even sip this water, they'll die. Yeah. And it's like, no, they won't. Yeah. They'll have a bad time.
And then also... Homer logically appealed to Mr. Burns, who saw the best side of everything and was disappointed in his wife for being...
Yeah.
Told him, see her through a different lens, and he's like, I see her through a different lens now.
Like, yeah. Like, I
You're going to use your marriage eyes.
I didn't mind the switch of... Mr. Burns realizing that if everyone gets sick from this, he'll be liable. Like, that's his change of heart moment. And it's not from a change of heart. It's from, realizing he's liable. But yeah, they're just, oh, Burnsy, you've only been married for a while. Look at her through your married eyes.
Also, I feel like if, like, he made the realization that he'll be liable and that prompted him to action rather than running and yelling, I'll be liable as the action happens.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out anyhow because he didn't make it and all the kids died. But then we rewind and Homer just turned the tap off.
Yeah. If Homer had said to him, you need to do something because your wife's invention is a lie, and Mr. Burns being like, I don't care, we're going to make millions. He's like, but those kids are going to get sick and you're liable. And then he's like, oh shit. That drops the scales from his eyes.
Yeah, that would make more sense. That was just, that whole last scene was just...
Yeah, just very tacked on in something that is this overbooked.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing.
Yes. You already said it was a thing.
It was a thing in wrestling. But now it's getting out of the squared circle.
Now it's a podcast thing.
Yeah, it's getting into the drinking water.
Clusterfucked the overbooks.
I still like my invention, but I forgot what it was.
You got to remember your invention.
Spandex flex.
But yeah, because that is a decent point, because yeah, that is the thing with Elizabeth Holmes, and people say that she's so unsettling because, like, at no point, like, yeah, did she admit fault? She, like, thought through the end that she was doing the right thing, and she's just such this, like, sociopathic and, like, so...
Yeah, it's hard to tell if she's in, like, locked-in hardcore denial or genuinely checked out or something. Because, again, I only saw the dramatization, but even then they're like, okay, well, we're gonna, subpoena you and we'll see you in court and you're in on the hook for, like, deaths and shit. And she's like, I'm gonna go to the beach with my dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just so hardcore delusional. And like,
I just got back from Tahiti. It's nice over there. You're like,
But no, that's the thing that I like about Mr. Burns in a technical level and leading into the heart of this episode is that, yeah, I like the whole thing. It's like, I didn't mind that she was doing bad things. That's my bag. It's just that she thought that she was being good the whole time, which was heartbreaking. I'm like, that is a funny idea that could have been so much better executed.
I think that could have been the middle of the show.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a moment where he says to her, oh, darling, isn't being evil the best? And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to help people. And he's like, yes, you can drop the facade. We're alone.
Yeah, yeah. There's no reporters here. Yeah.
Which, of course, you couldn't do that in a documentary because there would be reporters. You know what I mean.
Well, I mean, besides that...
dramatization where, like, Kirk is playing Mr. Burns or something.
Yeah.
And also, did Mr. Burns' voice change dramatically two-thirds of the way through? Did someone die or have a stroke?
Welcome to this segment. No, he is just aged into and then out of Mr. Burns' voice.
Right, okay.
Like, he's too old for Mr. Burns now.
Right. Yeah, okay. And Harry Shearer, the phrase, phoning it in gets thrown around a lot these days, but he is literally phoning it in. He lives in London. He's not there. Like,
I suppose now this is the age of phoning things in.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I phone my work in all the time, technically.
Yeah, well, I mean, lockdown, we all had to feel like our podcast took on a new life from phoning people in. But, but I mean, yeah, in this sense, like, you can just really tell he's not well directed. He's not giving his all with the performance, or he can't. Like,
Burns was one of my all time favorite characters. Like, even just hearing him say normal things is usually hilarious. Like, what was it? Oh, Mother Nature started the fight for survival and now she wants to quit because she's losing? Well, I say hard cheese. Like, I never thought hard cheese was funny until I heard Mr. Burns say it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's weird going, oh, the voice actor is too old for Burns, because there was always an enthusiasm in Burns' callousness that's just not present anymore.
Yeah, it's just old and none of that kind of glee that comes from being malicious.
And it weirdly distracts you enough that from Julie Kavanagh's performance. Like,
well, Julie Kavanagh, we feel bad for, but she's still, doing a good job despite the fact we're worried.
Yeah, actually, she probably had, like, one of four or five jokes that I liked in this episode, which was like Homer going, I gave Marge stock options to go to the grocery store. I had to put everything back. It was the whole thing. Like, I really enjoyed that.
That was actually a good gag. Yeah.
But yeah, the heart of this. How do we feel about Mr. Burns and Persephone? What about their relationship?
I mean, no.
Everything seemed a facade. Mm. Like, I can't see Mr. Burns getting married because he's not a sexual person, I don't think, in any other episode ever.
I mean, Mr. Burns has had his moments.
Yeah, but now...
Burns fucks.
Yeah, Burns fucked. He's not... like an ether sponge nearly drowns him.
The character played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus had a few fun times with Mr. Burns, if you catch my drift.
He did need a...
Wink, massive injections of animal hormones or whatever.
But hey, he got there.
Yeah. I mean, a fairly nothing element to the story, but like, I mean, I get what they were going for, but yeah, man, you're saying like that they should have had the yeah. break halfway through. I'm like, oh fuck, they really should have.
Just,
like,
yeah, the sense of heart of him, of them being incompatible, even though they want the same things, of like big business, millions of dollars, fuck everybody else. But her approach being, no, I'm helping, and him, but not realizing, no, you're making things much, much worse.
Well, also the thing of like an Elizabeth Holmes type being like, all hype, all fucking promise, all future projections, all that shit, contrasting with Mr. Burns's like solid cutthroat business style, which is like, no, this is how you make money, not how you scam people.
Sooner or later, you're, you know, even if you have a terrible product, you need a physical thing to sell people. And if it doesn't work, you are going to have the bottom fall out.
Like in the words of Mr. Burns, I am interested in the Godzilla bombs.
I did like that back and forth. Where was that? That is, they're like, some oil and coal CEOs, and then, you know, the building gets ripped apart, and the
because it's
cyclone has hit the mega fire or whatever, and it's like, oh, we got
super fire.
We got chemicals that can put that fire out. Of course, it turns alligators into Godzillas, but working on a bomb for that.
Yeah.
I do like that as like the next logical step.
Yeah.
We've got Godzillas, but we're getting bombs together. It's okay.
Yeah. Actually, that was a good run as well, because they mention as well that you'll have to forgive us because we're going through our third once in a million years hurricane event down here. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like, that's almost where it stopped being a good episode for me. And it got really kind of
that was like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but I said it's about 10 that's minutes. True. And then it's like, just disappointing. I mean, not, I don't know. It was, yeah, a lot came at you. None of it was amazing. The doco thing was so in and out all the time. Like,
yeah.
Like every time there was shaky cam to make it look like they were being followed by a documentary crew. But then the next scene was like, an interview. I don't know. It just, like, it was stylistically good enough, but it was visually boring.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like I was saying, because they give that, like, shaky cam look, but it's like, run on an auto filter that's, like, doing, like, the pace of a DVD logo bouncing on the walls. Like, it's not actually, like, a shaky cam. It doesn't feel like
manually
manipulated.
Well, you're never actually following anybody when they're doing it. Well, most of the time. You just, it's a still image, and you want that to be a still image. Mm. Having it slightly drift is pointless.
Yeah, that's it. It's slightly drifting.
But yeah, it's definitely an effect they just put on the clip.
Yeah. And I guess the other moment of heart I got to mention is like Lisa's angle throughout this whole thing where, yeah, she's initially really inspired by Persephone and like, you know, her morale and go-gettingness and what she's doing and, then being disappointed with her.
It's an idea that should work. The idea that Lisa buys into this hype because it's a female CEO taking on the world, doing something that's meant to be good for humanity, and then her, you know, having that dashed, I should feel something. I forgot it happened.
Yeah.
It was really nothing but like...
Three scenes.
Yeah, like a full stop at the end of a paragraph. Like it could have been... Like, well, I feel like maybe in other Simpsons episodes, that would have been a B story because you know, Lisa's got a whole thing and it would have normally been Lisa had been the one who had discovered the treachery and then had to do something against the wishes of everybody else. But it was Homer, kind of, and Lisa was there. But then that was it.
Yeah, Homer being the whistleblower didn't make any sense.
Was all for the misdirect of the Lenny silhouette saying, oh, my best friend Carl got fired. And then it turns out it was actually Homer. Yeah, but there was also just a silhouette of Lenny there?
Yeah, just a cutout of Lenny. I assume he brought it from home.
And again, if you built that somewhat as in Homer keeps getting promoted in this company because he does what he's told without asking questions.
Yeah.
And then eventually got to a point where he figured it out. Great, sure, but that doesn't happen either.
Yeah, we've got no real reason to understand why Homer is still even involved in this company when people are getting fired all the time, apparently. And
And again, because we've always had the underlying current that the reason Mr. Burns keeps Homer around as safety inspector is because he doesn't complain and he doesn't report any of the massive violations, and same kind of thing here. You could have even had that as a bit, like, who should you get for this role? It's like,
exactly.
This guy, he has no idea what's going on. If he does, he thinks it's his fault and hides.
Yeah, he ticks all the boxes without even doing the checks. He's your guy.
Yeah, he's like the ultimate yes man who never actually gives you an answer.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just these things that they were built in the episode more solidly. Like I said, it's like it could have paid off so much better. Like, especially because they almost draw a parallel with this whole thing with like even the Simpsons' own history. Because, you know, when Elon Musk guest starred on their episode, they did nothing but suck his dick for 22 minutes.
Man. Excruciating.
And this was still when a lot of people were buying, myself in a lot of ways, buying the Elon Musk hype. And even in this episode, they make a joke that Mr. Burns bought Persephone Twitter because its former owner is Mars's rocket...
self-driving Mars rocket crashed.
into the International Space Station.
So, I did like self-driving Mars rocket.
Simpsons predicted it, watch. you know. <Yeah. laughs> We'll do an edit later if this actually happened.
But it could have been, you could have been way more cutting with that as well.
Mm. Yeah.
It could have been so many, anyway.
Yeah, or more self-deprecating, yeah. like in that way as well. It's just like, yeah, we bought into this dude's hype and, you know, and now he is what he is. And like, same with the Elizabeth Holmes thing, like that moment for Lisa of like losing someone that you once.
That should be devastating. Yeah. Like, to see Lisa lose a hero should feel like something.
And then you could buy that she would maybe be the whistleblower because she talks to her dad or something, or like there's a way around it. It's just.
They'd have like a big, you know, bring your daughter to work day to inspire the next generation of leaders. Yes. That's where she starts cottoning on. Okay, better episode, and we're good.
But before we get to the change question, did it feel like an episode of The Simpsons?
Recent Simpsons? Yes.
Yeah. Classic, no, but again, this could have been your really kind of dirty, boring era 20s kind of thing.
Yeah.
I will say there's nothing here I really hate until we started unpacking it all, and now I'm kind of annoyed a little bit more, but until then, it is just so fast it glosses over you.
100%.
Kind of feels like it was an episode made to be cut up into GIFs and used on social media for future years. Because I think I've actually seen the Professor Fink saying, I'm not allowed to look inside the machine. And my title is Professor of Inside of the Machine.
Yeah. I did like all their creative titles they had. I don't remember.
I forgot. I was halfway through writing down one and then eight more hit me and I forgot what it was. So it just started with Professor of, and I'm like,
They've got like Creativity Coordinator or something. And
yeah, there's something like Warlock of something.
Yeah.
Again, which is like we said for the classic episodes, like I just couldn't keep up taking notes. And this is the flip side of that. This is, you know, saying the same thing, but meaning something totally different.
I wasn't laughing during any of them.
Yeah. No, that was a silent ass 22 minutes.
Yeah.
The only joke which I think got audible laughs from maybe two or three of us was when they revealed that Carl was about to say something and they found out. So then they fired him and then they cut to a shot of Carl's parking space. They got. Wipes out Carl Castle and then resprays it as nobody.
That
was good. But yeah, again, I'm not talking big uproarious laughs here.
It's just talking
the collective sounds of like, clearing of the nasal passages.
Yeah, it was a susurrus, if nothing else.
Would you watch this episode again?
I'd need a reason in particular.
I'd just say no.
I almost feel like I had to review it properly because, like, Jesus Christ, it just. Flashes, like, even afterwards, I just took a big breath out. It's like, that was a lot.
Yeah. I feel like I'll see bits of it as comebacks in GIF form.
Yeah. Maybe they'll chop it up for TikTok or something like that. Because, I mean, we theorized back in the 20s, you had the extended couch gags for the YouTube audience.
Yeah.
We're cutting it down even more for the TikTok audience.
Maybe you're onto something. That's going to be interesting.
I mean, there's a lot of talk at the moment about, you know, what the future of media, especially long form media. How survivable is it? Given that TikTok is a lot of all the audience is now, do you make a show that you can break down into 90-second
into consumable 30-second clips?
And then like I don't know how they make money from that, but I don't really know how you make money from TV anyhow. So
yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I've been turned on to a couple of shows from TikTok. Is Guy Montgomery's Skymont Spelling Bee is like. Are you familiar with the New Zealand comedian Guy Montgomery?
I honestly don't know any words you just said.
I just want to hear you try and say it three times fast.
Guy Montgomery's Guy Mont Spelling Bee. No. I'm already failing it the first time.
But you were lured into watching a show about a spelling bee.
Well, I already knew Guy Montgomery, the comedian, so I was following him. But then, like, he's got this show on New Zealand TV, and it's a, like, funny comedian panel show, but it's a spelling bee, and it's very good.
Have you been eating, like, a lot of really spicy foods or something recently? Like, there's something's changed, Elliot. I don't know what it is.
Yep.
Acid?
That could be it. All these drugs I'm taking.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they're putting something in my Diabex that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, you're
I'm getting stuff from Theranos. Yeah. So what's the one better thing, tribute to our friends at One Good Thing? What's a Simpsons episode that you would recommend over this one?
Monty Can't Buy Me Love, I remember being pretty good.
Yes, go to Scotland. Get a Loch Ness Monster.
That was that one.
What are you thinking of?
No, I was thinking of the Julia Louis-Dreyfus one. No, that's Hunger Burns in Love.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about Burns relationship episodes, yeah. Oh, yeah, where he almost marries Mrs. Bouvier. Yeah, Mother's Mom.
There was that other one where Smithers kind of has a relationship with some fast fashion billionaire.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It's not great, but at least it has, you know, that sense of he finds out his boss, you know, that this new guy knows that he's doing wrong and is fine with it anyway. And there's, there's a moment of, you know, having the scales fall from your eyes and realize the person you love is someone terrible that isn't really present as much as it should be here.
Damn, there's a lot of parallels there. And yeah, a parody of Chernobyl as well, briefly.
And we just kind of, I remember we liked it because they gave Smithers something to do after 35 years.
Yeah.
I would say, what's the Simpsons episode, Simpsons Behind the Music, that was a doco?
Yeah, the Behind the Laughter.
Behind the Laughter. A lot of times I'm like, I could be watching
we
that.
We did get around to that one finally, and it still kills. It's really good.
Yeah, but like, it was one of the rare times where the teens episode just destroyed the room with laughter that, like, it, weirdly enough, it like took the air out of the classic era episode that like was like, how is that not as funny as that?
Because it's
like,
just the perfect amount of self-aware, I think is what we said at the time, and I stand by that. It just gets it. They couldn't have produced that at any other point of the run. It had to be right then, and they get it exactly right.
Man, that is a good point. This one does lack self-awareness. It's just trying to go after this topic so much that it's losing sight of, like,
essentially becomes the documentary it's trying to mock. It's trying to parody the story the documentary is telling, not the way the documentary tells a story.
There you go.
And it's not even making jokes or points about the documentary or the story itself. It's just like squeezing Simpsons characters into places and going, wouldn't it be funny if this person was Homer?
But yeah, other Simpsons documentaries like Springfield Up, where they like parody that 7-Up series. Like,
I haven't seen that.
It's a good episode. Again, it's pretty inconsistent with the format, but I feel like it lands. And again, it's the appropriate amount of silliness.
Yeah.
It's not a serious episode. But what would you like to change, BT?
I mean, we've covered a lot of this.
We have.
Look, make Mr. Burns and Persephone's relationship make more sense, because I do. Again, all the pieces are here. They're just not in the right place or fleshed out enough. You know, the idea that he knows what he is and he loves it, whereas she's somewhat deluded as to what she's doing, is a good point of contention, especially and for a moment of him realizing as well. That's a really interesting idea that we'd need explored. I like the idea of Lisa having genuine hero worship for this woman, because look, the real world parallel fooled a lot of people who really should have known better. And, you know, it's easy to say, look, if you give something enough hype, people will buy into it. Even, you know, people who are usually skeptical will get wooed over at some point by something. So there's Bobo something
gets us all.
Yeah, exactly. Sooner or later, something will get under that armor. So, maybe it's the fact that not only is she a female CEO, but she's also doing something beneficial for the world. And all Lisa's ever seen is Mr. Burns, who's very clearly doing the opposite. The little Lisa Slurry episode as well. Let's chuck that in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a definite one better
actually,
thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Those two main things would at least give the story some weight. We've talked about how the documentary style is not a bad idea, but it's just not consistent enough. I kind of like the idea of, and I don't know how you do it, flipping between different documentaries, the one that's trying to, you know, glorify this, the one that's trying to demonize it, and then I don't know if there's a good way to do that. It's a concept I do like, but
color filters. It's easy.
Well, just, you know.
Sorry?
Color filters.
Yeah. Just the idea that maybe even Homer is like, this whole thing happened and I don't understand it. The only way I'm going to figure it out is TV. And therefore, because I've done that with things like, I'm not entirely sure what people are angry about. Let me watch several documentaries to figure out what the fuck is going on. I'm not going to do reading.
Give me some points, yeah.
Well, I mean, it got a mixed response from our panel, but the vlogging episode where it was like Simpsons as YouTube stars and it was like from the perspective of someone like going through a bunch of YouTube videos and watching segments, you could do a similar thing with the Netflix, like just going through a streaming thing. Yeah, because like the streaming service like is very famous for having a lot of documentaries. It's not how you watch documentaries on Netflix, by jumping from thing to thing, but it's an example.
It's a doable thing, yeah.
Phil, how would you like to change this one?
I think, just to broaden on an idea that Beej had, I think that there's, you know, the saying that no one is the bad guy of their own story when you're talking about evil people. But Mr. Burns is kind of that, because he knows he's the bad guy and relishes in that. I think there's a lot of space there to explore somebody who maybe doesn't think they are the bad guy of their own story, and Mr. Burns, who relishes the evilness of his life, getting together and having, you know, kind of an odd couple bit of moments as a better vehicle for Burns and Persephone.
Mm.
But there's definitely lots of work to be done for just making it entertaining. I think problem is, like, documentaries are essentially a visually unexciting way to tell a information dense story. And so when you go, we'll do that with a comedy, you're losing out on all the visual comedy stuff, because especially if you're trying to emulate a documentary, because you have the backs of people walking into offices and the backs of people walking down hallways or shaky cam footage, which is only there usually to give you something to look at while you hear something incredible or salacious or tantalizing. But if they're just doing it while they're also being narrated over the top about something that's kind of really boring at the same time, really, really drags down the pace of the whole thing. And I kind of feel like that was what happened almost like from the 10-minute mark onwards, Godzilla Atomic Bombs till the end. And it kind of just really, like, by the end of the show, I'd checked out like 5 minutes before the end. I'd stopped writing notes and I'm just like, there's no point. Like, I was like, this is not entertaining. It's not funny. Nothing's really even prompted me to pick up my pen, which was already in my hand.
Yep. Half the work was done.
Yeah.
And you did your part.
Yeah.
I clicked and everything.
I had all the tools at my possession. I just needed a reason to use them.
Yeah.
And then, like, even the post-credit gag of the Beatles was like, just another 30 seconds of, why am I watching this?
Yeah, there is the trouble with an extended joke of boring is boring, even if that's the joke.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, I get what they were saying, because I don't know if you guys watch Get Back, but yeah, it is a very slow documentary where you don't see a lot happen, but you're just sort of, it's more its purpose is that you're kind of just settling in to be a fly on the wall through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And like, as a thing, like, that you're not super paying attention to, like, if you're doing other things at the same time, it works.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, going after the Beatles doco for being slow, again, to do this by doing these really slow, really stupid Beatles jokes about them talking about water and what is it, man? And then I took an umbrella in the shower and fucking hell, it drags.
It was really dumb. And there's a reason that there's no documentaries about how people make media.
Yeah.
Because I assume making music is sitting in a room by yourself writing things or throwing ideas around for hours and hours and hours, and then days and days of trying different things, and then the culmination of that is a great rock song that you go and dance in stadiums in.
Yeah, that's fast paced, and you're like,
You make an action movie, you don't want to watch the guy editing it because it's 3 months of probably fucking boredom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, not Beatles music documentaries, you know, that do talk about how they wrote that hit song.
Mm.
Yeah, like you were saying before, they cut it with so much different footage because that's all they have access to.
Yeah.
Here is some shaky fan cam of them playing live. Here is, like, their home video camera of them in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, you're not actually going to have, like, I mean, yeah, the Beatles documentary had the moment that Paul wrote Get Back, but that notwithstanding, yeah, you're not going to get the moment that Kurt Cobain wrote Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I assume that, like, the moment that McCartney wrote Get Back wasn't like 40,000 people cheering in a stadium.
Yeah.
It was probably him quietly sitting in a small school desk with wearing a blazer.
Yeah, we'll go see Sharp and then.
Yeah, and you go, da, 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 da. Oh, that was really, yeah. Like, you're not going, like, you can go, oh, this is the moment, but you're not exhilarated by the thing itself.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they show the whole moment and it's Paul just sort of like playing a riff. He's mumbling along. Ringo catches on. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll start playing this along to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like they kind of just mumble their way through it until they come up with the Get Back refrain. And then that's when they start locking
that's
in.
That's when it clicks. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, again, that is a very fucking slow documentary. So you don't really want to emulate that here. Like, yeah. And not cutting this thing with sort of stuff like that. That really didn't make it feel like a documentary. It made it feel like a fucking Family Guy episode.
Yeah, and a little bit like a Ghost Hunters episode where they're cutting to nothing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then, I heard something.
And then re-showing bits that they already showed because there's nothing to cover it with.
Take that footage back. Did you see something move?
Yeah. Did you hear something?
Yeah. So I did just want to quickly reference that I think the best example of that ever is still in Dewey Cox, Walk Hard.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, yeah, if that's what you think, then I'm guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Like, don't you dare write a song right now.
Fuck, such a good movie. Wish you could watch that instead. But instead, we will talk about this for just a little bit longer. Musical moment. They have that Life Song song. Who does that?
This is my fight song. I believe it's Fight Song.
Is it T-Swift?
I don't think
T-Swizzy? What do they call
that's
her?
That's not T-Swizzle. I don't think it's Katy Perry. It's going to be someone we probably don't know.
Yeah, it sounds Katy Perry-ish.
You just talked about the Beatles for 10 minutes. You're not going to know who the hell these people are.
Definitely not.
I thought it was T-Swift, so I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, it's time for our final notes.
Yeah, where are we here?
This is my final note. We just wrote this song. I don't know.
A way to take my thunder.
Yeah, would you like your thunder?
Because what it all comes down to is I haven't got through all my notes just yet. Because I got one hand in my pocket and the other one's running through my notebook.
Are we going to work our way through Jagged Little Pill? All right.
Interesting.
For reasons I don't know, I was just Wikipedia diving. Like, fuck, there was a lot on this album.
It's a fucking my family, at my mom's place, we have this thing where we each got to pick 6 records to add to our family record collection. And yeah, Jagged Little Pill was one of mine. Mm-hmm. It is just a perfect album.
Yes.
Bill, any final thoughts?
What's the second album?
Supposed former Infatuation Junkie?
Yeah, which did numbers. Like, it's one of those ones you don't get all the singles off because, yeah, Jagged Little Pill had like 5 or 6 singles. Yeah.
But do you think it did numbers because she was
possibly
the
off the off the hype? And then it's been like a slow decline.
Was there ever a third one? Because I don't think
Yeah, she had about 6 or 7 or something like that.
Fuck me. Have you seen her do stand up?
Twice.
Have you seen her wrestling?
3 times. She's Canadian's world heavyweight champion. Yeah.
I feel like we're slowly forming another podcast for Elliot to host.
Things I've seen that you wouldn't believe.
Oh, what about just squared circle stand-up?
Yep.
Anyway, wrestling and stand-up at the same time. Only Alanis could do it, but yeah.
Wrestle up. Ding, ding. My final notes.
Yes.
Honestly, to tell you exactly what I feel about this episode, I couldn't be bothered reading the notes I wrote.
Mm. I can't. Bleak.
Lisa admires her because she's the most bebadged Girl Scout.
Other than Guy Montgomery's Guy Mon Spelling Bee. That's right. Guy Montgomery's Guy Mon Spelling Bee.
Or Bob Balaban's Ballad Band.
Ah, got me again. Yep. When they opened the episode, I didn't mind the lapel mic joke that it weighed down Mr. Burns at the front, so they used the boom mic to push him back up.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, I did like when the Super Hurricane joined forces with the Super Fire, and you just see in the background a swamp boat on fire flying through the air.
Mm-hmm. Florida.
Yeah, that did make me laugh.
Florida. There's a bit where, you know, Persephone's talking about how her grandfather was out alone in a lifeboat, but nothing around to drink, and it's like, oh, he died? He's like, no, I mean, not from the ocean. He died. Of quitting, and then he died for real.
And massive dehydration. Yeah, yep. Not bad.
I do like there's a bit where Mr. Burns is just newly in love, and he walks into like a greenhouse, and he picks a floating butterfly and puts it on his finger, and immediately feeds it to a Venus flytrap.
Yeah. That was actually right before the note I've got here of the montage of Persephone courting Mr. Burns. It tries to get him to make a deal with her beard board? No. I remember there was skywriting and a giant contract there and that was all right.
Prophecy.
What was the beard board?
Not sure. There's a bit where she's got like a board and he's in an MRI machine, but
Sorry, dead note.
There's a bit where they're showing like a graph of her company versus all the other kind of water companies out there, and one of them is Aquafina. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I get it. Yes, I get jokes.
I don't get that.
That's a comedian that Elliot might have seen do stand up.
I only know her as the voice of that dolphin in BoJack Horseman.
Oh, no, she's in movies too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Go Aquafina.
And she's the voice of a dolphin.
Yeah.
There are some really sweet jobs out there, aren't there?
Yeah, you can work for a bear board, apparently. It was so like, don't you hate this when joke when Lisa's like, oh, and I love this company, you know, it's mandatory that they use metal straws and they're so easy to clean. And then she gets out the pipe cleaners. I'm like, I've been there, but it dragged on too long. But I'm like, fuck, that has been me.
I was the flip of that. I'm like, okay, she's got a metal straw talking about how easy they are to clean. So obviously we're going to watch her not clean it for the next few seconds.
I don't know. Just the specific thing of like the cleaning tool bending, like when you try to use it, it's like, this is what you were designed for, you know?
I would prefer to misdirect. Have been like, takes out the clean tool. I'll do that later.
Mm.
Yeah. She'd take out a plastic straw and clean the metal straw with it.
All you need is this disposable straw cleaner. Yeah.
Okay, that would have been good. Better joke. Well done, Phil.
Welcome. I'm available higher after May 12th.
Mr. Burns is the first man with no blood type. Again, of weird Mr. Burns medical oddities, I think that one lands. It's quick and it lands.
There's something about Homer outing the fact that Lenny's taking Italian lessons, and then Lenny shows up in a like Italian soccer jacket and says, "Homer, yeah. don't," or something like that.
He's like, "Oh, Lenny has a crush on his Italian teacher."
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Yeah, it's
again. There's a few that I've highlighted here that are like, okay, this is the example of the tell then show that shit yeah, that they yeah. were doing. Yeah. Especially where Homer goes, "So is this like a normal documentary or one like The Office where like I'm constantly looking at the camera?" And then Homer like walks into Burns's office. They're getting married, him and Burns and Persephone. And then Homer does a total gym face to the camera.
Yeah. But I feel like that kind of like led into a thing that I was really waiting for the joke, and I was expecting the gym face cam thing because
he telegraphed it hard.
They already told me what it was. But then you're just like, oh, they're getting married. And I thought there would be ramifications of him walking into that wedding.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
But then it just... I thought it was okay, the gag, when they were walking out after just getting married, being mobbed by paparazzi. And every time there was a flash, you could see Burns' skeleton.
Oh, I missed that. That's good.
Sorry. But yeah, the line of, is this one of those documentaries where I'm meant to pretend the cameras aren't there or whether I'm supposed to look at them was okay. It just, a little too belabored then to head directly to a, now I'm looking at the camera. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This episode was so uninteresting at points that I just wrote down soup.
Oh, yeah, and this is another dragged out joke. Yeah,
we're just watching Mr. Burns sip soup for like 30 seconds.
You know, I literally was like, this is going on for too long. I should write it down. And I'm like, I couldn't be bothered.
And then it was still going.
And it still went. And then he stopped slurping and it still had a picture of him slurping for like another 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, when this episode isn't being quick, it's being Beatles Get Back level slow.
Yeah. It's really like here's 14 jokes in 3 seconds or here's one joke in an hour and a half.
Yeah. There's a reoccurring bit with the bounce house that I didn't think landed ever.
No. Well, it's hard to land in a bounce house.
Oh.
Especially when you missed the birds. Like, why wasn't he popping all over the walls?
Yeah.
If he's so light that the mic drags him down, but he can stand in a bounce house multiple times with no comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, the puzzle into, like, he goes bouncing and then his nose gets into it and, like, pops it. Yeah.
There's a bit where they're talking about how tight security has gotten now that they've got this lifeboat water thing on. And they say, it's so tight now, people have moved their post-it notes with their passwords away from their computers. I'm like, okay, that's good.
Yeah. Pretty relatable shit there. Mm-hmm. Oh, can I get rid of those post-it notes lest you get my passwords? What am I talking about?
Elliot Rock, 69420.
Elliot is sexy with 7 exclamation marks.
That was just the note from his girlfriend. That's just positive affirmations.
Yeah, nice. You go, Six Elliot. You watch that stand-up.
There was a run of subpoena jokes with Homer that I didn't mind. So they're trying to give him the subpoena at Krusty Burger. Mm. Then they hide one in his beer. And then there's one from the pizza delivery
guy.
There was
three too many.
Yeah, which was all three of them.
No, they were like three is fine. Like pizza guy, fine. Krusty Burger, fine. Inside the beer can, a bit. Dumb. That should have been the third.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's like another two or three after that. And you're like, it's not any funnier now.
Mm. Mm.
Rule of threes. It's like the only rule that comedy has apart from be funny.
Also on this episode, having dated references. So like Jimmy Buffett's been dead a while. And Carl Carlson was like, oh, I didn't want it coming out that I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan. And then there's footage of him at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
What's the other thing? It's like, oh, they said they'd give away my terrible secret if I spoke. Here's my terrible secret. And it's like,
Here's footage.
Yeah.
Here's all the concert stuff.
Put that in the documentary.
And also, it's such an old reference that he's like, that's right, I'm a parrot head. And I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck that means.
I didn't know a Jimmy Buffett fan was a parrot head.
No, neither did I. I didn't know there were
Someone hasn't gone to Margaritaville.
I'm a citizen of Margaritaville then. That would have been.
You've never eaten a cheeseburger in paradise?
I've never been to paradise, but I have been to me and it's not nice.
You should go down there. The grass is green, girls are pretty, it's wonderful.
Oh, wait, paradise. Is that Paradise Outer Limits? That's Paradise City.
Yeah.
Right. We've merged a couple of songs.
Right? Yeah. I'm playing along.
And her grandfather is actually still alive. He's correcting spelling mistakes, British spelling of American words on Wikipedia.
I didn't find
that
as a gag in of itself, but it was way too little, way too late.
And again, just another example of the show then tell. Here's what he does. Here's him doing it.
Yeah. Like if that was a shot where it's like, Grandpa can't come. He's just discovered the internet. And then he's like, I'll show you English grammar. And that's what he's doing. You're like, amazing. That sounds like Grandpa. Yeah. But like to do it on a character that we've never met, is not dead. He's still alive. And this is what he does with his time. Like that's 10 seconds of a guy that we only saw in the promo video in like the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That had no reference to anything.
Yeah, and anyway, he's alive all along.
He was alive. And
I did have one note. I didn't mind that they cut to Mr. Burns, star of the previous documentary, The Man Who Sold Horse Meat Sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'm like, again, as sandwich connoisseurs, I'm glad no one has mentioned horse to be on this podcast yet.
I really have such like a little adorable bone in my body for young Mr. Burns.
Mm.
Like, he just looks like a young rapscallion who's just trying to rub two cents together. Every time they cut back to something where he's like polishing shoes or stealing nails or whatever, I'm always like, you go.
Crippling Irishman.
Yeah, get him.
And that is all my notes, BT.
There's a bit where they keep changing the name of who's sponsoring the stadium. And, as a Sydney sider, that's hashtag relatable.
Oh, yeah, for All Phones Arena. I'm sorry, it's just been changed. It is now a core.
I'm pretty sure we sponsored it at one point.
Yeah, yeah. What a wonderful day that was.
It's like an hour. Honestly, they should do that. Have your name at the stadium for like an hour.
It was Amy Stadium for like 10 years.
Yeah. And my last note is one I kind of liked, where in the divorce, Burns got her high school friends.
Mm. Yeah,
there is something kind of funny about that.
I did like the Polaroid gags at the end of that.
Yeah.
It was just like him having a tailgate party.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time to rank this thing.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
All right. On the Simpsons Index, we rank using a 6-point scale, which starts down the bottom at failure. Maybe if the episode was just meh, you give it a participant. But for positive rankings, you got okay bronze, good silver, excellent gold. But for the best of the very best, you give cubic zirconia. I'm going to go first. Let me show you how it's done. Yeah, I'm giving this one a big old participant. Like, I think I might have, I've been thinking about failure, but like, there is enough decent gags, and it's just like, it's just that this thing moves so fucking quickly. Like, I don't think there's anything deep down that I really hated or that breaks the episode for me entirely, but yeah, it is unfocused. A lot, so many of the millions of jokes just fall fucking flat, and there's just, yeah, not a lot for me to want to return to. BT.
Yeah, I think the benefit of being fast is if something doesn't land, it's over in seconds.
Yes.
So, but I mean, that also happens for anything you liked. It's like so quick. Yeah, look, I had a brief thought of failure, but there's not enough I'm really upset about in this one to want to fail. I think it's mostly just a waste of its own potential. There are some good ideas here, and they're just kind of in the wrong place and not put together properly, and just a few more passes on this idea in the script phase, and I think it'd be great. But as it stands, it's a participant. It's I will forget it.
Bill,
I think I'm gonna dull bronze it.
Oh, really?
I feel like it's got
you can bronze. You got an individual rank here.
He's trying to get two bronzes on this thing.
No, a dirty bronze. No, maybe bronze. I feel like there's enough story there, enough parts of it.
Mm.
I feel like it's just been either noted to death by producers, or like I think it's dead in the edit. I think that's where the problems come. Like,
yeah.
I think the script is solidish enough, but then they just had too many extra ideas shoved into it. I feel like
too many hands on it.
I feel like if you went in and you could recut this and pull out 20%, you'd probably end up with a pretty handy.
Okay,
that's the thing. Episode. If you watch the TikTok episode of the edit of this episode, it is solid.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, like if you watch it 90 seconds a day for 28 days, it's probably great.
Yeah.
So I think it's bronze. I don't think it's quite participant, only because it had bits that could have worked or that were working that then got waylaid by.
Just diluted by everything else.
Yeah, it either got diluted by frenetic things happening or by long spans of nothing. And I feel like if you kind of just pushed one down and pushed the other one up, you'd probably end up with an okay episode. So I'm going to go bronze.
Yeah, I like that overall ranking for it, because, yeah, a part of me thinks this might be a victim of its own ambition as well, that it sort of gave itself too
much
to do.
Which at least it tried something.
That's like a lot of outlets are saying, oh, The Simpsons is back, and we're like, they're just sort of trying and sort of giving things a go.
This
like,
one gets the bar with the cake, at least you tried.
It gets a cake, yeah. It doesn't get kicked in the pit, far from it. Gets a cake.
Don't underestimate cakes.
Yeah.
Actually, Phil, before we get out of here, I forgot to ask. We usually start out the podcast with our returning champions by asking, have you been keeping up with the show since your last Index appearance? Have you gone in on any more?
I have watched a bit of...
Only the musical episodes.
Yeah, I'm trying to get myself to like them. So far, no. I have seen a few. Might have even been 35 of some of the recent things recently, because I've been watching something that's been like a 42-minute show, and then it's not quite time to go to bed, but I don't have half an hour. So I've watched a couple of Simpsons, and I couldn't tell you what any of them were, but I have kind of seen a few of the newer ones, so...
Yeah, because I think last time you were talking about, you know, lots of late nights with your young child and like that they were mindless Simpsons was kind of helpful in that time.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, but now the child's asleep and it's just me being mindless. The excuse is gone, but the
mindlessness. Simpsons, great for mindlessness.
The habit's still there. Yeah, so I think I've seen one that's been okay and a couple that have been real stinkers, but I couldn't remember. If you told me what some of them were about, I could probably go, yes, seen it, hated it.
Yeah,
so a little bit, but I'm not really diving back into the old fodder to get stuff.
No, and I mean, sometimes looking at the Simpsons Index spreadsheet, it's like, what was that episode? We thought it was mediocre? Okay, whatever.
That's the problem with mediocrity.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for joining us today.
I'm always... love coming here and sitting on this side of the microphone.
And what are you doing when you're on my side of the microphone?
I am co-host with my good co-host production buddy, Tom Norton, for a wonderful podcast called Big Questions from Small Minds, where we take the best brains that science and STEM has to offer in the world and ask them dumb questions from me and Tom and pretty intelligent questions from kids from also around the world. Mm-hmm. It is surprising... that how many people who are the top of their game in a very specific field can get tripped up by, so, what is your field?
Well, that's quite complicated.
Well, we had a guy that who was the advisor for black holes on Interstellar. He's the head of Sydney Uni, I believe, in astrophysics. And we're like, what is a black hole? And he's like, well... oh, well, it depends on where do you start with a question like that? Well, if you see, it's a bit, and we're just like, well, we need to start somewhere. So let's get this going. So, but it is, honestly, it's amazing. If you've got kids between 10 and 15, or even a little bit younger, I guess, that are curious about science and want to know, you know, just want to ask dumb questions. Like, we always have a question about farts, regardless of what science it
can
is.
Can a black hole fart?
I think we did ask if you can fart in a black hole, what happens?
Yeah.
I think we also asked if you fart half in and half out of black hole, what happens?
Stay tuned to find out.
The answers will surprise you. But yeah, it's really good for getting kids involved into STEM. We speak to some amazing professors who are literally top of their field in and around the world. We've got volcanologists, people about dinosaurs, spoke to a guy about ants. We've talked about the immune system. We've talked about gut health. We've talked about brains,
robots,
psychology, what happens when you die. Robots, space junk eating robots. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been amazing. And the secret tip is it's really good for adults if you're about to go to a dinner party, because we can tell you in a very short period of time a lot about one subject that nobody else will know about. And you can definitely go, actually, did you know that the biggest cell in your immune system is called a macrophage, and it's basically a Pac-Man?
Awesome.
Yep. Why, I'm fascinated with this cocktail party. I'm just dazzled by that man's knowledge.
Yeah, and then you say, go check out Big Questions of Small Minds, Episode 5, The Immune System.
Yeah, but for those that don't know as well, because you guys are recording out of my studio here, so it's also...
SideQuest Studios production.
Yeah, that's right.
Sit, Ubu, sit.
Good SideQuest.
That's definitely taken.
But yeah, you've had these people around my place, and it's just all of a sudden, yeah, I've got the head of AI at Sydney Uni, and I'm like... do you think it's cool with like video games that use AI? Do you like my amiibos?
Oh, the guy who did the nanotech, Dr. Jin, is like a world lead researcher in nanorobotics, loved your amiibo wall.
Yeah.
He was taken aback. He was like, wow, he's got all of them.
And I'm sitting there like, I might be smart. This guy has it figured out.
Yeah. He's like, I might have to have made my own electron microscope out of old grandfather clock parts because we couldn't afford one, but this guy's got it going on.
Well, not all of them. I am missing a lot of the Fire Emblem ones, and
no one gives a fuck about
Fire Emblem.
The Monster Hunter ones go for like $400 these days. Freaking it's insane. Nerds.
Well, just save your pennies.
Yeah. Actually, just at a quick glance, do you reckon you can guess which is my most valuable one there?
Only because I think I asked you once, it's the square with the face.
Yeah, it's Box Boy, the one that's just a white box. Now I've outed that I've got one of the most expensive amiibos in my house, here's my address.
Yeah. Anyway, it's so weird how you live next to the police station and next to the other police station.
But speaking of SideQuest Studios, B2, what are we doing here?
Here, well, here.
And over at your stuff. Place when we record as well.
Yeah, but if you want to, like, not go to our houses, you can go to patreon.com/sidequeststudios, which is the blanket for everything that we do, which includes, you know, shows like this and all the Patreon exclusives you can unlock for only $5.
That's what, like, kind of exclusives, though? Like, just you guys sitting around in your socks?
Oh, if only. That would be fun and easy. No, we give you the fun and hard things, which is, you know, shows like Except When He's Not, where Elliot catches me up on all the episodes I missed, in DVD and Dexter's, where we check out all the special features on the Simpsons DVDs, and really our favorite show at the moment, Starring Springfield, where we watch movies that star the cast of The Simpsons in other films, in other roles, and boy, has that taken us some places.
I would like to say that if you ever want to get revenge on two guys that you've never met, become a Patreon and suggest the worst movies you can find. I've done it twice, and I only feel a little bad.
Man. Actually,
they've all been fun.
Like, no, like, we didn't give Super Mario Brothers 1991, whatever, the original Mario Brothers movie. We didn't get the highest ranking, but damned if I didn't have fun watching it. Yeah. Which, yeah, if you didn't know, Dan Castellaneta, the voice of Homer, does the opening narration for that movie. But then you also got it tasked us to do Mystery Men, which was like a weirdly fucking...
way ahead of its time.
Yeah, Mystery Men predicted it. Like, yeah. They called a lot of the fucking tropes that would go for decades with superhero movies.
I find that movie really, really not odd.
It is odd.
But strangely prophetic in like a backwards way, because it's almost... It's like it's had seen what Marvel was going to do for 15 years and then realized how that would end and then made a movie about the end of Marvel. But it came out 20 years before any of the Marvel movies did.
Yep.
Biggest superhero movies at that time were like the Batman run and maybe like the old Superman movies and
that's
shit
like that. The Keaton Batman run.
Yeah. So like we're far away from even like Marvel's original one with like the X-Men movies, and it like sets up so much stuff that would be like drilled so much in X-Men franchise. Yeah.
For real.
It's diffuse.
So yeah, if you like hearing us talk about movies such as you've just heard, there's a little sneak teaser of what you can expect. There. But yeah, one of the Patreon perks is, you get to suggest movies for us to review. So we've done a whole wide range and we've barely scratched the surface. So
you guys keep finding new crap and I love it.
Go check it all out at patreon.com/sidequeststudios. But for now, that's it for the Simpsons Index. Thank you once again, Phil.
Always a pleasure. And that's it.
And check out Big Questions from Small Minds as well. I'll drop links in the show notes below.
Yeah, download our episodes, they're all free. Season 2 coming soon.
What could it mean?
And BT, thank you.
I haven't dropped my pen all podcast.
Fuck.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Good thing.
Oh, right. Are you a notorious pen dropper?
No, I just like having a pen.
Is it like being a name dropper or a pants dropper?
I don't think it's like either of those things.
No, but like if it was skewing
it's
one way
pen,
or the other.
Phil.
I know what, but I know what those other two things are.
They're just pens, Phil.
Are they? Sometimes a pen is just a pen.
But is this one of those times?
Sometimes a pen is just a dick.
And I'm Elliot J. O'Neill. That's all the mustard in the house.
Penis.
Thank you for listening to the Simpsons Index podcast, which is also an online spreadsheet available at thesimpsonsindex.com. You can also check out our other shows, like Pulp Fury Radio, our scripted fiction podcast, which tells all original stories across a range of pulp genres, and Thrones of Game, where we review Game of Thrones in reverse order. Links to those podcasts and more will be available in the show notes. Now, there's no bonus scenes for this episode, so we'll catch you next week.